Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Josh Klingler. Check out the Nutmeg Podcast as I sit down with various members of Sporting KC to find out what makes that organization tick. It's on the 435 Podcast Network. Download each episode now on the radio.com app. Hi.
Welcome back into the Forced to Punt podcast. I am your host, Steven Serta. As always, I am joined by Dusty Likens. Got a lot to get to on this episode. We've got a lot of Week 9 action ahead of us. A pretty lackluster trade deadline. There was all day long. I feel like the NFL gets us with this every year.
Oh, God.
It's never as fun as the NBA trade deadline. And the NBA trade deadline is always amazing.
Yep.
And every year, we're like, the NFL trade deadline, gonna be unbelievable. And like a couple of guys switch teams, and then for the most part, everybody hangs back and nobody actually does anything because the NFL, all of these teams are run by egotistical morons for the most part.
Old white guys.
It's the guys that, well, and the general managers that are really, really good at this stuff, the ones that always find value, that always seem to get, like, how the hell did they get that guy for a fifth round pick? Like,
yeah. You talking about Tlaib?
Like, Bill Belichick. No, that's a completely different thing. Like, Chiefs fans all pissed off about Aqib Tlaib. Please, Aqib Tlaib hasn't been that good this year. He's had injury problems the last few seasons.
Yeah.
He's not going to be back until week 15, which gives him zero opportunity to really integrate himself into a defense. And he's not like a shadow corner anymore.
No.
So get out of here. Like, the Rams just wanted to get rid of him. Like,
that contract.
They was a straight up NBA style salary dump.
Yeah.
Is all that was. So, Chiefs fans, you can get pissy about it. But it doesn't mean anything to me, and I wasn't interested in Aqib Tlaib anyways. Like, if you're going to go out and make a move, go out and make a move. Aqib Tlaib's not a real move.
Why do most, like, major trades happen, like, a week before the NFL trade deadline?
Because those are the teams that are already on top of it.
Yeah. Like, those, I mean, Baltimore made the trade.
Like, you have the idiots like Bruce Allen and the Washington Redskins who were, for 6 months, Trent Williams isn't for sale. Trent Williams is not on the trade market. Then the day comes and they're like, shit, that guy's not going to report. Maybe we can actually get something for him. Maybe teams will panic and we'll just put it out there at 8 o'clock in the morning that he is available.
Yeah.
And somebody will panic and give us 2 first-round picks for a 31-year-old tackle.
And then they cover their tracks and say he doesn't pass his physical today.
Yeah, which is crap. Yeah, which
bunch
is crap.
Of horseshit.
Yeah, it's just because he was just like, yeah, I'm not practicing.
Yeah, what? Oh, he didn't pass his physical, but he was available for trade.
And they said that he did pass his physical. Yeah. And then they came back and said he didn't pass his physical.
Yeah. I don't know. NFL trade deadline, man. It's the biggest. It's blue balls, right? It leads you up for a final like presentation, and then it just doesn't show up for the speech.
It's never as good as we think it's gonna be. We always spend weeks hyping it up. Like, there's gonna be so much action at this year's deadline. And
was the last major big blockbuster NFL trade the Clinton Portis for Champ Bailey back when we were like 8?
No, I mean, there's been other high profile
like
trades.
That big.
I mean,
I remember when that one happened. I was like, holy smokes, that's a number one corner for a number one running back.
I mean, Khalil Mack wasn't at the trade deadline, but Khalil Mack was a pretty high profile trade.
That was big for the number one first round draft pick.
There's been a lot of high-profile trades. It's just that they tend to not happen at the trade deadline, and we spend all this time hoping and praying. Like, I was hoping that, like, you can tell which teams are good at this and which teams suck at it. Like, the Cincinnati Bengals are a joke. The day of the trade deadline that they're going to bench Andy Dalton for a sixth-round rookie quarterback.
That's right.
This obviously isn't going to work in your
favor. It's going to
work out. There's 0% chance that dude's better than Andy Dalton.
This year?
The team just really, really sucks.
Yeah.
And A.J. Green's coming back after the bye. He basically said that today, that he's good to go. And he was like, and if I was in the game, we wouldn't be 0-8. And you refuse to move anybody. And Andy Dalton straight up... Let it hang, Andy Dalton. I am all about it. Andy Dalton has ever said a goddamn thing in his life.
Andy Dalton today is pissed. He did today.
They benched him on his birthday on trade deadline day and didn't even try to trade him. And Andy Dalton's like, yeah, I would have liked the opportunity to explore other options to get the hell out of Cincinnati. And it crushes me because as a guy that I've got A.J. Green in multiple leagues, I've been waiting for him all year long to give me a late season wide receiver boost. And now you're telling me this cat, I don't even know his name. What's his name? Ryan Finley or something? Ryan Lindley? I don't even know what his name is.
I still think it's unfair for A.J. Green's shit comment to say we wouldn't be 0-8 if I was in there. That's not fair.
No. Hell yeah, A.J. Green. Hell yeah. No, that's true. I believe that.
That's not fair to say, though.
I believe that.
I don't. That team sucks. That team's defense sucks.
Yeah, no, they're god-awful. They're god-awful.
Is A.J. Green going to play corner like 1999 Madden where you put Randy Moss as your cornerback and your receiver?
Yeah, Ryan Finley is the rookie sixth-round quarterback
rostering
from NC State.
He's going to light it up. NC State.
Don't go roster him.
Oh, yeah.
It's what it is.
He's the next Phillip Rivers.
This is ownership. Their ownership is terrible. Their general manager is terrible. This is ownership finally conceding, okay, we're 0-8. We're in play for the number one overall pick. Let's just roll with this sixth round rookie, and we'll just play it off like we're like.
But they got rid of your boy.
This is what we're trying to do. We're just trying to see what we got in him.
I mean, they got rid of Marvin Lewis. That's what you wanted last year.
Yeah, but so, they didn't improve the team, and I don't. Think
who do you want
that,
him
I don't
to get?
Think that Zach Taylor is a terrible coach.
Well,
they've shown
really
some promise on offense. They're a poorly run franchise. They have a bad ownership group, and they have a bad general manager, and they have for 20 years.
Yeah.
That's why they've never done anything. That's why Marvin Lewis, I don't think Marvin Lewis is a terrible coach. I don't think Marvin Lewis is a great coach either, but that's why he had job security for 15 years of being mediocre. Like, the Bengals are a terribly run organization. The Washington is a terribly run organization, and that's why you see these teams that they make trades ahead of time, like the Patriots, like, you know, the Eagles didn't wind up getting a deal done, but the Eagles are always super active in that regard because they're a really well-run team. And San Francisco appears like it is. John Lynch is a really good general manager, and like that team is run really, really well. And they wound up getting a deal done because they knew, hey, this is a Super Bowl caliber roster, and we've got one really, really weak deficiency, and it's at wide receiver. And they go out, they get a guy who is a very talented player who's probably past his prime, but he's still better than any of the young wide receivers that you have, and you get him at a fairly cheap cost.
And he impacts right away.
Yes. And so
they also are doing that. They're also undefeated with a quarterback who's thrown fewer touchdowns than the weeks they played.
He hasn't needed to.
I know. It's awesome.
Fantastic.
But it's literally old school football, and they're working it.
So Thursday night football.
Yeah. Niners.
San Francisco 49ers, Zona. Arizona Cardinals. Speaking of that team, I'm playing Emmanuel Sanders in this game. He was on a limited snap count last week. He still played like over 80% of the snaps.
Pat Peterson going to shadow him?
Did wind up having a touchdown. Well, Patrick Peterson doesn't shadow anymore.
He doesn't? Okay, I didn't know for sure.
No, he used to shadow a lot. He doesn't really do
he's
that
just right
anymore.
Side now?
Yeah, he's just one side of the field, so that helps a little bit. So with Emmanuel Sanders, you know, you can move Emmanuel Sanders to the slot. You can move him outside. You can try to help him avoid Patrick Peterson at all costs and just put one of your other scrubs on Patrick Peterson the entire
God.
Time.
This could
like, put Dante Pettis. Everybody who is drafting Dante Pettis to be a huge fantasy contributor this year, put Dante Pettis on Patrick Peterson. Let him deal with that garbage all night. Put Emmanuel Sanders on the other side or put Emmanuel Sanders in the slot. Let him have a game.
I just thought of this. I don't know why I didn't talk about this before. God, George Kittle's going to have 40 points.
Yes, and so Arizona, although they've been better the last couple of weeks, and Patrick Peterson helps overall. Arizona is still a bad football team. Their defense is still bad. They are still really, really bad against the tight end position. George Kittle, as you know, has been fantastic yards-wise. Touchdowns haven't come, and he's had three touchdowns called back because of penalties. It's incredibly infuriating. I've got Kittle in multiple leagues.
God, he's
He's
go
been
off.
Amazing. Like, he's still, even with Emmanuel Sanders, George Kittle's still their best pass catcher.
Yeah.
He's still by far the most talented offensive weapon that they have. And this is the NFL's most efficient running game that is just absolutely dominating in every possible way. George Kittle's still the most talented offensive player that that team has.
For sure.
So, I mean, I love this matchup across the board for the 49ers.
Tevin Coleman, Jesus.
I'm starting Emmanuel Sanders. Tevin Coleman, absolutely.
Yeah, he's got nobody behind him, right?
They do. They are banged up. Matt Breida's banged up. He didn't practice yesterday. I haven't seen the report today on whether or not he practiced. I believe Raheem Mostert also did not practice yesterday.
Yeah,
he's banged up.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jeff Wilson's going to be involved. But like basically with the 49ers, basically what you've been doing all week, especially or all year, especially if you're in deep leagues, like I'm in a dynasty league that's got four flex positions, and I've got Jeff Wilson on my roster. If any one of those four running backs isn't playing, I'm playing Jeff Wilson because he's going to have an opportunity to at least get a touchdown. Because they've had multiple games this year where they've had three fantasy relevant running backs, and they did it again last week in a huge blowout. Like Matt Breida wound up leaving that game, but I think he would have been productive if he would have stayed in, and he was still decent. Like, he still got you something. He didn't just get you 0 points. He still got you something before he went out. And then Mostert wound up with like 60 yards and a touchdown on top of Tevin Coleman's 100 yards, three touchdowns. So their rushing game is just so incredible that any of those guys who are active, if one of them is down, I'm starting any of the other guys. Like, and obviously, Tevin Coleman's a guy that you want. He's going to be the, you know, potential breakout candidate, superstar running back for your fantasy team in this offense. But if Mostert and Breida, oh, you got to go pick up Jeff Wilson right now. He's probably available in a ton of leagues too.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if Breida practiced today or anything like that. I don't see anything on their like website about it or anything like that. But yeah, I'm good Lord. Yeah, I'm just worried that that game's going to be one-sided too much between San Fran and Arizona. I think the only Arizona,
but what are you worried about? It was one-sided last week against the Panthers, and they were still fantasy monsters.
Yeah, I just don't think there's anybody you can possibly play at on Arizona's side of the ball. Like, unless you know what there is.
Okay, well,
there is Zane Gonzalez. That's the only person I would play for Arizona.
Well, I mean, I'm not starting any Arizona Cardinal with any confidence.
Larry Fitz, no way.
Because the 49ers defense has been incredible, although Kyle Allen did break the streak of three consecutive games of not allowing more than 100 passing yards. He had like 155.
Thanks, Christian McCaffrey.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm not excited about starting any of the Arizona Cardinals. And, I mean, so let's talk about the running back situation for a second. So Chase Edmonds has already been ruled out. David Johnson is a game time decision.
Mm-hmm.
They traded for Kenyon Drake, right?
Right.
They've got Zach Zenner and Alfred Morris. And they've already stated, even if David Johnson goes, they're going to use a committee style approach. So,
and I mean,
I still think that you can run on San Francisco. San Francisco's run defense, their entire defense has been amazing.
Yeah.
If you can find any way to exploit them, I think it's in the running game. Because, and especially what Arizona does well, the reason Arizona's running game has been effective is because they spread everything out so much. And I would assume that Cliff, while I don't give Cliff a lot of credit, I would assume he's smart enough to say, we're going to keep trying to do what we do and not change up our game plan, and we're just going to keep trying to spread you out to create these running lanes. Because Kyler's going to get eaten alive. Like, I'm not starting Kyler Murray.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
And I don't want to start any of their pass catchers because none of them are reliable anyways, including Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
I'm not starting Christian Kirk. Not starting literally any other pass catcher for them. So the only people that are viable are those running backs. And I'm not saying go out and pick up Alfred Morris or Zach Zenner, but I think that David Johnson, in most standard leagues, you probably don't have a better option than David Johnson if he winds up going. And if for whatever reason, I couldn't believe Kenyon Drake was still owned in 70% of leagues, which is just absolutely absurd.
Yeah, he was owned by everybody.
He wasn't even a starter for Miami for a month.
Was he one of the guys that said he wanted to be traded? Like, was he also like one of those Miami guys in the locker room?
No, he never said that.
They just benched him?
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
No, one, it was because they were trying to trade him, and Miami's going out of their way to be bad. Like, they're genuinely going out of their way to be bad. That's why, like, Monday night, that Deontay Johnson touchdown.
Hilarious.
They literally all-out blitzed on 3rd and 20. Like, nobody all-out blitzes on 3rd and 20 when there's 10 seconds left in the first half. Everybody plays deep to keep you just from throwing a deep ball. And then, and it was an underneath pass. It's not like it was a 40-yard bomb from Mason Rudolph. It was an underneath pass that Deontay Johnson just took for a 40-yard touchdown.
That's our guy, though.
So they're clearly tanking. But I think that David Johnson, if he plays, I just don't think that you have a better option. And if he doesn't play, then I think Kenyon Drake is the best option, and I think you just put him in and hope for a touchdown.
I think David Johnson has to play, right? Like, he's been off the last 2 weeks.
Oh, he doesn't have to play.
I get it. Like, I'm saying, but, like, for Arizona's sake, I mean, I know that they're not going to go anywhere and they're not going to be a playoff team, but if they want to keep trying to be competitive, I feel like he's got to play. Like, I don't know if Kenyon Drake knows their playbook well enough yet. He just got traded. They're playing a monstrous defensive line. Like, Nick Bosa became a household name last week. If
they can't
he wasn't already.
Genuinely think that they're a playoff team.
No, but like, you don't want to just like...
There's just no way. Not in that division.
Yeah.
And not with how difficult the NFC is. Like,
no,
NFC,
I get it, but they don't want to just... Like,
Green Bay, 7-1. Minnesota's a wild card team right now at 6-2.
Yeah.
New Orleans is 7-1. Carolina's 4-3. San Francisco's 7-0. Seattle's 6-2. So right now, your two wild card teams are both 6-2 football teams. Like,
no,
you're not a playoff.
That's not what I'm trying to get at. I'm just saying I don't think they want to just like have the season be the rest of the year a wash. I mean,
but
we're
it
in
is.
The,
but
that's not how they're going to play it.
It's not. But I agree, but what's the benefit of playing David Johnson in this game?
If he's ready to go, I think he plays.
He's obviously not, though.
Okay.
He's injured. Like, he's clearly injured. He's got multiple injuries. Like, I don't think he's going to go in this game. And they pulled that the 2 weeks ago with Chase Edmonds, where they were like, oh, he's going to give it a go. And then he played two snaps, and they were like, yeah, he wasn't ready to go.
That's
just, I don't think there's any point in trying to get him ready for this game. You just trade for Kenyon Drake. See what the hell you have in him.
Fair enough. I just only play Zane Gonzalez because he's a stud.
He has been a pretty good kicker.
He's the number two overall fantasy kicker on ESPN's. Yeah. He's awesome. Double digit points in three straight weeks.
Yeah, I think they're going to struggle to move the ball a little bit this week.
But if they're going to score, they're going to kick 40-yard field goals because that's what they're going to do.
Yes. Zane Gonzalez is a very good kicker. But want to get to some streamers this week. There's a lot of... if you're like me and you went Carson Wentz heavy in a lot of fantasy leagues, you're in a very tough stretch right now.
Yeah,
Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz, who has still managed to linger around the like 9, 10, 11 range. Like, he's still been productive enough to stay a top 10 quarterback, stay a starting fantasy quarterback. But I benched him last week for Jacoby Brissett in two leagues. It didn't really work out for me. I benched him in another league for Derek Carr. And this week he's got Chicago. I know Chicago's defense, their run defense has been bad since they lost Akeem Nicks to IR. But their pass defense is still very, very good. Carson Wentz has a bye next week. Mm-hmm. And then following the bye, he's got the New England Patriots. His schedule does open up a little bit after that, but he's got a brutal stretch. And so these are people that I'm looking at. If I'm a Carson Wentz owner specifically, I'm not just looking at them to start this week. I'm potentially looking at them to start 3 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because he's got a tough matchup by Patriots. And so
as I've already told you, and I know that he's not doing anything to make the case better for me, but I've got faith in the schedule. Sam Darnold is still available in a bunch of leagues, and rightfully so. He's got like 7 interceptions in the last 2 games or something.
But one
of
them was against New England where he threw like 5.
Yeah, but he's got this week. I'd rather stream Sam Darnold against the Dolphins, I think, than start Carson Wentz against the Bears. Because the Dolphins are just that bad. Like, we saw it on Monday night. Like, Sam Darnold's much more talented than Mason Rudolph is.
100%.
And Mason Rudolph had a very productive fantasy game against the Miami Dolphins because they're the Miami Dolphins and they're that bad.
Yeah, and the Jets have been embarrassed 2 weeks in a row. Right?
Yeah.
Like, Sam Darnold's not that type of quarterback.
Yes. And I think the Jets are a genuinely bad football team.
Head coach.
They're still more talented. They have more talent on that roster than the Miami Dolphins do.
Yeah.
Like, the Miami Dolphins are straight up a Division III football team right now.
Like, you go back to Carson Wentz's schedule. Like, Carson Wentz is going to win people championships because of what his playoff schedule looks like, because it's Miami, Giants, Washington. Like, literally in that order in weeks 13, 14, and 15. But another guy that could be possibly a good streamer this week is Daniel Jones, I think.
Yeah. That's the following week with the Jets.
Yeah.
He also gets the Giants that week. So that's another week that Sam Darnold, very startable quarterback. Following week, Washington Redskins.
Great matchup.
Following week, Oakland Raiders. Like, that's 4 consecutive games that he's super startable in. And that I would likely, like, you know, aside from the Raiders game, which the Raiders are getting torched by everybody right now, like, I would start Sam Darnold. Like, he's a guy that I would pick up and start 3 consecutive weeks in my fantasy lineup, even if they're not winning football games. And that might sound crazy, but that's what you do in fantasy football, unless you've got Deshaun Watson. Like, you kind of have to play the matchups, especially if you're a fringe playoff team. I think Sam Darnold's a really, really good option.
What about the guy Darnold's going up against? Do you like anything around Fitzpatrick against the Jets?
No.
Not at all?
No. I'm not messing with him.
No Fitzmagic for you?
No. I love Fitzmagic, but no, I'm not messing with it.
So do you like... Yeah, that's true. Robbie Anderson big week then?
Yes. Like, I love Robbie Anderson.
He'd be a streamer.
I love Chris Herndon, who I think is going to be available.
Is he finally going to do it for you? Is he finally going to start?
You know, Ryan Griffin had 2 touchdowns last week. Chris Herndon's a much more talented player than he is. Chris Herndon was one of Sam Darnold's favorite
targets.
You're so mean to,
like, young guys.
Oh, Ryan Griffin's not young. He's like 30 years old.
Oh, he is?
He's been around the league.
God, Peterson.
He played for the Texans for like 5 years and was never very productive for them.
I hate the Texans tight ends.
Why? I like Darren Fells. Darren Fells 33
because
years old.
Because I picked up Darren Fells, and then he didn't do anything 2 weeks ago, and then he goes off, and now everybody's like, Darren Fells is a good start the rest of the season. Plug him in your lineup.
Yeah, he's a top 10 tight end right now. He is getting consistent.
Do you start Darren Fells over TJ Hockenson?
Not this week.
Because TJ's going against the Oakland Raiders?
Yes, and the Raiders have gotten torched by tight ends the last month. Like, on Arizona Cardinal level torched by tight ends the last month. So I actually like TJ Hockenson a lot this week. So he is a guy that you could absolutely put in your starting lineup. Some other quarterbacks that I think you should probably consider starting this week, Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He's got another good matchup against Washington. Last week we expected kind of big things from Allen. It was really poor weather in that Eagles game and just kind of turned into we're just going to run the hell out of the ball on both sides.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are better at that than the Bills are right now. So we saw how that turned out. But should be in a better situation this week against Washington. Washington's also one of the worst teams. And now there's a report coming out that there's potential that Dwayne Haskins might be the starter for Washington this week. So that should obviously help the Buffalo Bills defense. I think that'll set up Josh Allen for more success. I think he's a very good start this week. And I also really like Gardner Minshew, who got back into a groove last week, finally got my guy DJ Chark another touchdown on the season. Gardner Minshew's just been really good, and he's going against the Houston Texans, who are giving up 294 passing yards per game. Like, they have not been a very good pass defense all season long. I don't care that they just added Gary and Conley. We saw how big of an impact he had against the Raiders this week. Like, Derek Carr had a very nice game. Derek Carr had 3 touchdowns. That's why I picked him up and started him in another league. You can score on the Houston Texans.
And they just lost their defensive juggernaut.
Yeah, they just lost J.J. Watt. Deshaun Watson's got one eyeball that he's playing with right now.
What a sexy play that was.
Yes, it was amazing.
By the way, I have to ask you about that, because that play happened when you were in the press box. So how did you watch that?
I was watching it on my laptop.
And you just stayed calm after you were watching that, or did you kind of like, oh my God?
I mean, I was just like, oh!
Because sometimes if you want to peek behind the curtain, sometimes like in the Chiefs press box, when you're waiting for that late game to start, like they'll all huddle around TVs,
yeah,
and like you'll get reactions. That was like one of those moments where I figured that was like where that happened. But anyways.
But yeah, so Gardner Minshew, who is still available in a lot of leagues, is a guy that I would absolutely consider playing. So the Carolina Panthers just got railroaded by the San Francisco 49ers, as we already mentioned. Ryan Tannehill, second straight good game in a row. And I'm curious like if you would consider starting him against the Panthers this week, because he had 3 touchdowns last week, which he kind of let me down, because that game, his first start of the season, was targeting the hell out of A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, had over 300 yards. They had more targets and receptions than they had in a single game all year. Last week he comes out, he's just going after the tight ends like crazy, and Corey Davis and A.J. Brown didn't get any looks. I started A.J. Brown a couple times because I thought he was getting ready to explode. Thankfully, my day was salvaged by A.J. Brown catching a short touchdown pass at the very end of that game. But Tannehill still wound up with like 193 yards and 3 touchdowns. Panthers just got smoked by the San Francisco 49ers, and their defense has been kind of up and down. I'm not really willing to bank on Tannehill this week, but I think he's a viable streamer moving forward.
Yeah, he was picked up in a lot of leagues last week, and actually I had to play up against him because somebody had a Patrick Mahomes. But yeah, I mean, I like Tannehill. I don't have a problem with Tannehill playing in Tennessee. He's clearly been able to move the football better than Mariota was. It's kind of hurt Derrick Henry owners, I guess, a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe Derrick Henry's just being Derrick Henry. But A.J. Brown's an interesting candidate that you bring up, because are we able to believe in A.J. Brown as long as Tannehill's under center?
I mean, I'm rostering him.
Yeah, that's it, right? Leagues. Nothing else? Don't start him unless you have to?
I started him last week in multiple.
Yeah, like he saved you the touchdown, but I mean.
But it was a great matchup against Tampa Bay. This matchup's a little tougher. I'm not starting him this week, especially after the scare that I got from them last week. But I think that A.J. Brown's a guy that should be rostered in all leagues right now.
Yeah, because his schedule's pretty easy. Like, he gets the Chiefs, which isn't easy, but then by the Jacksonville, Indy, Oakland, Houston. So, I mean, I'm confused with A.J. Brown, because I'm like you. I kind of believe in Tannehill, and I think that he moves forward, and I think A.J. Brown's his guy.
Some potential streamers at the tight end position. I already mentioned Chris Herndon. Absolutely love Chris Herndon.
Yeah.
Darren Fells is still available in way too many leagues. I know a lot of people don't buy into it, and they think maybe he's going to fall off because he's a 33-year-old who's never been highly productive until right now.
God.
Deshaun Watson likes him. Deshaun Watson is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. He's making the case for MVP. Deshaun Watson really likes Darren Fells. Darren Fells is the number 7 tight end on the year right now. Darren Fells is a guy that should absolutely be owned and started in every fantasy league. Unless, I started him in a dynasty league last week.
Yeah, I just don't trust him, man. I don't know what it is.
I mean, what's not to trust? You got 2 touchdowns from him last week.
Okay, and then the week
he's
before he had, and then the week
productive.
Before, no, he hasn't. The week before he has
for a tight end. Yes,
the week
he
before he had 2
has.
Catches for 27 yards.
Yeah, that's what you get outside of most tight ends. Like that's the risk you're running with a majority of tight ends in the NFL right now.
He's had a game of 15, 16, 12, yeah. And then he had the explosion last week. Other than that, 0,
okay,
1.9,
so
2.2.
What do you expect weekly from a tight end then?
At least 6 points.
Okay, so he had 58 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Raiders. Yeah, Colts, 2 catches, 27 yards.
Okay.
But Chiefs, 6 catches, 69 yards.
Week
You'll
before
take
that.
Week before that, 2 catches for 20 yards, but
touchdowns.
They were both for touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's huge. You'll take that any week from your
but
tight end.
But that's inconsistent.
It's not, though.
That was the only time he scored.
The touchdowns aren't inconsistent, though. The touchdowns are coming. Like, he's got, against the Chargers, 5 catches, 49 yards, and a touchdown. Like, who are you going to go pick up that's going to give you anything more than that right now? Chris Herndon, if he's available, I think can give you more than that. There's not another tight end that's available that I think you'll get more consistency from, unless you believe in Jonnu Smith, which I kind of do too. He's still a young player who's still really developing. I think he's a really talented player. He had a big game against the Bucs at 78 yards and a touchdown, and he's still available in a lot of leagues. So I think that he's a guy you should go pick up. But if I'm going to pick up anybody, I want to go pick up Chris Herndon. But Darren Fells needs to be rostered and started in a majority of leagues, because you probably don't. If you're still trotting out Greg Olsen every week, you should be playing Darren Fells over Greg Olsen.
Like, I want to play Jonnu Smith, but I just feel like his matchup this week is too tough.
Yeah, but I mean, but at tight end, it's a crapshoot anyways. Who right. do you have? Like, who do you have that's better? Like, you just, you go
I don't
with,
know. I just
you
don't
have
know.
To go with the streamers, and you have to play the matchups. And if Jonnu Smith's getting consistent volume from Ryan Tannehill, I would rather put Jonnu Smith in my lineup than keep trotting Tyler Eifert out like he's ever going to do anything.
Well, I mean, I think that Hockenson is Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, but okay, yeah, but Hockenson, and I think Hockenson's a guy that I would start this week because he's got a really good matchup. But Hockenson's not going to give you that week to week. Hockenson's a rookie, and he's not ready yeah. for the NFL stage. So Darren Fells has been around for a long time, and while Darren Fells might not have the prestige that TJ Hockenson does, I would much rather start Darren Fells right now than TJ Hockenson, who's got one fantasy relevant game on the year, and we're still acting like because he's got Rob Gronkowski potential, he should be starting over Jonnu Smith, and I don't think he should be.
I just keep believing in myself that Detroit offense is eventually going to start finding him more consistently.
I mean, they really aren't, though. They aren't going out of their way to do it, so I don't expect them to do that.
I know, but that's what I'm telling you. I'm trying to believe that they will, because I just don't understand how he's just not throwing it to a tight end when they literally only throw the ball.
Because he's a rookie, and because they have good wide receivers. Like, and Matthew Stafford has done this before. Like, they did it with Eric Ebron, who's obviously a talented player. I don't think Eric Ebron's, you know, one of the 5 to 10 best tight ends in the NFL. But we saw last year when he went to an offense that focused in on tight ends, he could be productive. And he's still been productive, although he's been a letdown this season. He's still been productive for the Indianapolis Colts. Like the Lions, Matthew Stafford just doesn't traditionally target his tight ends that much. Maybe that changes for TJ Hockenson because he's so incredibly talented. I just don't see that changing this season. And especially in a position where tight end is the hardest position, in my mind, to transfer from college to the NFL. And we see that over and over and over again.
So that's Hockenson shouldn't be rostered.
Rob Gronkowski didn't have a productive rookie season.
No, I know the narrative with rookies and tight ends. I'm just saying, like,
it's
what I'm
true.
Trying to,
it's not even no, a narrative. It's a truth.
Okay, truth. Whatever it may be. So you're saying that TJ Hockenson shouldn't even be rostered.
I would drop him.
Okay. But you said before we did this that you'd play him this week against the Raiders.
Yeah, he's a perfectly serviceable streamer Hockenson. This week. But we're not arguing about anything. I'm telling you how I feel about TJ Hockenson.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying I don't.
He's a perfectly serviceable streamer this week, and if you want to start him, sure. He should under no circumstance be looked at as if he is a weekly starter over Darren Fells, because Darren Fells is better than TJ Hockenson right now.
Fair enough.
And I think Darren Fells has more value and is better than TJ Hockenson moving forward. I believe that about Chris Herndon. I probably believe that about Jonnu Smith. I don't believe that about Dallas Goedert because he's got Zach Ertz, but Dallas Goedert's been productive 2 weeks in a row.
Been longer than that.
Like, Dallas Goedert's a very talented player. He's a guy that you could consider rostering. TJ Hockenson is a very talented player. I have TJ Hockenson in a dynasty league, and I haven't started him once this year. Like, he's obviously a talented player, but outside the dynasty formats, I'm not giving myself a headache over keeping him on my team. I would rather just drop him if I think that there's somebody else who can bring me more consistency right now. Like, he's a talented player, but he's looks like a rookie, and he looks like the NFL's too big for him right now. Some other fantasy sleepers, though. So a popular pick this week for some reason is Philip Dorsett. And you know I love my guy Phil Dorsett. I think Philip Dorsett, this idea that Mohamed Sanu is just better than Philip Dorsett, I think is really frustrating.
Yeah.
Because Mohamed Sanu's never been that great. I think he's a good role in that offense. But I don't think that he is a special player by any means. And I think that Philip Dorsett has already shown a really good chemistry with Tom Brady. But Sunday Night Football, Patriots-Ravens, a lot of people like the Patriots a ton in this game because the Ravens' defense hasn't been very good this season. But I think that the people are overlooking this matchup because the Ravens were on bye last week. Like, the Ravens just played Seattle, and they basically shut Seattle down. And Marcus Peters looked like a game changer in his first game after they acquired him from the Rams. Had a pick six. He had Russell Wilson, I think, only targeted him three times. I think one of them was a pick six, and the other two were incompletions. And after that, Russell Wilson stopped targeting him after the pick six. Like Marcus Peters, I think, is going to be amazing in that defense. And Jimmy Smith already said this week that he's ready to play against the Patriots. It'll be the first time he's active all year. He's been hurt all season. And Jimmy Smith is a top 10 cornerback in the NFL when he's healthy, as well as Marlon Humphrey, as well as Brandon Carr, Marcus Peters. Like, that secondary all of a sudden looks like it could turn the corner right now and look like it's one of the five best secondaries in the NFL. So I'm not as sold on Philip Dorsett this week. I love Phil Dorsett for the rest of the season. I think that people are putting too much stock in that Ravens defense that they saw like the first 6 weeks of the season and not putting enough stock in what they saw against Seattle before their bye week.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like the Ravens-Patriots matchup's kind of like a sit back and learn because like everyone likes to pick on the Patriots that they played the softest first 8 week of schedule of any time in the NFL, and now they're starting to play some decent teams. So I'm just not sure yet. I like everything you said. I mean, I'm a full believer in that defense too. I think that Marcus Peters is also a game changer. Clearly had a pick six in his first game with the Baltimore Ravens, but I'm done trying to like go against Bill Belichick and like the way that he can scheme. I know he's more so on the defensive side of things, and it's that little turd, whatever his name is, on the offensive coordinator, but Josh McDaniel. But like for me, I don't know. I mean, I like the Ravens defense. I definitely think that's what you got to do is if you're doing that for like a sleeper, you want to look for something, and maybe this is the game where New England gets exploited. I don't know, but I'm with you 100%. I think this defense is moving forward in like an upscale more than a downscale.
Super, super deep dart throw that I really like this week,
Jets.
Actually. Anthony Miller of the Chicago Bears.
Stop. Chicago against... Oh, man.
So, Anthony Miller's been a massive disappointment. He's a guy that I was really touting before the season started.
Who are your top three biggest disappointments so far? We're halfway through the season, so we can kind of do this, even though I go over the top on you here. But who are your top three disappointments?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
I'll tell you mine.
I don't have that off the top
Chubb,
of my head.
Chubb, Drake, and Vance McDonald. Kerryon Johnson... Nick Chubb and Vance McDonald are my three. I thought Vance McDonald was going to, granted, quarterback went out. I thought he was going to be like a top five tight end. Kerryon Johnson, before the injury, I thought he was going to get a lot of action, but yeah, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Kerryon would be up there. I never thought Vance McDonald was going to be anything different from what he's traditionally been. He's just an injury-prone tight end who's never been as productive as he was supposed to be.
I thought he was going to be a stud this year.
But I think Juju has kind of been a disappointment based on where he was drafted and what people were hoping him to be.
Sure.
Granted, yeah, again, that's the Ben injury has a lot to do with that. And I'm disappointed in Le'Veon Bell, I guess.
You were disappointed.
I really thought that Le'Veon Bell was, and I didn't draft Le'Veon Bell in any leagues.
Yeah.
Because he was going higher than I was willing to take him.
Right.
But there is a scenario where I would have taken him if it presented itself in the right situation.
Anthony Miller, that's interesting.
He was a guy that I really thought that he was going to come back and like prove everybody wrong and like prove that he was still one of the best running backs in the NFL. And again, that's another thing with like circumstance. He's just really bad team.
Really bad head coach.
Mono, you know.
Yeah, he got to go there, I guess.
But I think that he's going to have an opportunity to turn around with this schedule, too, because it's so fantasy-friendly.
Sure, yeah.
So I think he could bounce back in the second half of the season. And Todd Gurley, I really thought that Todd Gurley was going to be like, there was a scenario where I would have taken Todd Gurley in a lot of leagues too, because I was like, you know, he was a fantasy monster for 2 years. Then the arthritis and all of that stuff started catching up, and now they're resting him. And I thought, like, you know, maybe they'll do that for the first couple weeks of the season, and then he'll get right back to being that guy. And it's not. Like, he's just not that dude anymore.
Something's not right.
I think that, like, they might still – he might still have opportunities in games where he shows flashes of it. But, like, they aren't even trying to get him that type of work anymore. Like, it's just not in the cards. And so that's disappointing to me, because Todd Gurley's still so young, and I still think that he could be a really special player. But there's something not right with him.
Clearly.
But Anthony Miller is
your cat.
Absolute dart throw. He's a guy that I did genuinely draft him in a lot of leagues as like a last round pick.
Yeah.
I quickly cut him because the Bears' offense is just hard to watch.
It's tough.
But he does have, he's caught 12 balls, 19 targets, past three games. Nothing huge. But the Philadelphia Eagles, like, you're obviously starting Allen Robinson in this game, despite the Bears' struggles on offense. Allen Robinson's been fantastic. Allen Robinson, God, I wish that guy could just get a quarterback. Like, he could be such a special player if he just got anybody who was reasonable at throwing a football. And he had Blake Bortles before Mitch. Like, if he just got anybody who was halfway decent, Andy Dalton could make everybody know how great Allen Robinson is.
Coming full circle.
But so, obviously, you're starting him. But, like, the Eagles have given up the most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers on the year. Like, they've gotten destroyed by everybody. They give up points to everybody. And, like, I still think the Eagles find a way to win this game, because I think overall they're a better football team. They're better coached. Like, right now, Matt Nagy's not looking great in year number two. But Anthony Miller's been getting more involved, and he could have an opportunity in this game. So, there's nothing about his numbers that say I should go add this guy and play him.
Right.
But it's a super, super deep dart throw that I really like, because he's not going to be started anywhere. So it might be more of a daily guy. A DFS type of thing.
I mean,
than anything else.
You're right, though. I mean, in his last three games, he's got 12 receptions for well over 100 plus, like over 150 yards. He had 4 for 52 against Oakland. He had 5 for 64 against the Saints. And he had 3 for 67 last week against the Chargers. And, I mean, like you said, favorable matchup. If they're just going to pound out Alshon Jeffrey, then, yeah, that is kind of a sexy little dart throw. Is that this week's episode's title? Is just the Anthony Miller dart throw?
I mean, it can be.
I mean, I'm all about darts.
And there's not, you know, obviously you're starting Dalvin Cook against the Kansas City Chiefs. We haven't gotten into the Chiefs much. We talked about it a little bit. Like, I'm still operating with this team until Patrick Mahomes comes back. The only guys I want in my lineup are Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I know Mecole Hardman had a good game last week, and he had some things that were schemed up for him. And I think Andy's going to have that stuff drawn up every week for these guys to try to make the scores as easy as possible for Matt Moore. But the Vikings defense is just better than the Packers defense. And the Vikings defense isn't this shutdown unit that it has been in the years past, but it's still good enough that I'm not willing to start third and fourth and fifth options against them. Not with Matt Moore as the quarterback.
Yeah, and you're not using any running backs whatsoever unless you're just like forced to use like LeSean McCoy. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Other side of the ball, Thielen said he's going to practice Wednesday. Stephon Diggs, he'll play. I know Kirk Cousins has been, what would you say, like a streamer as of late, or just like...
Oh, Kirk Cousins, in my opinion, has been a straight-up starter.
I don't know if I start him this week.
Because
what we talked about when we were doing this.
Yeah, so with him this week, I think I am shying away from him. I think I agree with you on that.
Because the way the Chiefs are blitzy now with Spagnuolo is they're coming with stunts and inside, and he can't move.
The Chiefs have, 14 sacks in the last two games? Right?
Yeah, huge number. Granted, one was Flacco.
But even still against Aaron Rodgers, like the Packers have a pretty good offensive line.
Yeah.
And they did it without Chris Jones and without Frank Clark. Like, Frank Clark was at least in that Denver game.
Yeah, and Jones is supposedly back this week.
Yeah, he was at practice today. So I think that Spags is... He's been doing such a good job scheming that stuff up. Like, because obviously Cousins isn't Rodgers. Cousins, like the way Rodgers made some miraculous plays in that,
but he also did
what he does, which is move around the pocket, find a way to get the ball out of his hand. Yeah. Kirk Cousins does not do that. Kirk Cousins, he can shed some tacklers every now and then, but Kirk Cousins isn't gonna do a ton of rolling out. He's certainly not going to do what Aaron Rodgers did on that touchdown pass to Jamal Williams.
Oh, Christ.
Like, I think that if you get to Kirk Cousins early and you disrupt him a lot, you can get in his head a little bit and he can start to struggle. And the Chiefs' pass defense has still held up pretty well. Like, their pass defense didn't get absolutely torched by Aaron Rodgers. A lot of it was just those fucking running back screens.
I don't know. I mean, I like Thielen. I like Diggs. I love Dalvin Cook, obviously, in this matchup. But, I mean, yeah, I'm just not – I think that people might get hit with Kirk Cousins because I can see this is, like, how people get angry in fantasy. Like, well, Kirk Cousins had a great matchup. It's like, yes, the Chiefs' defense has been bad all year, but it's against the run, and now they're starting to blitz up the middle and take quarterbacks out that spot. Like you said, Kirk Cousins is 1-2-3, look one read, look two read. If it's not there, he's tucking and going down.
And so that's the thing, too, is that – even if he's struggling in this game and he doesn't look like he's looked over the last month where he's been absolutely fantastic, their running game's so good that they don't necessarily need him to be because Cook and Alexander Mattison, who has been mildly fantasy relevant, even with Dalvin Cook being incredible, Alexander Madison's had some very good games recently. Like, they can utilize those two guys a ton in this game. So, I mean, you're still playing Thielen and you're still playing Diggs because they've been too good lately for you to risk benching them. I know Thielen's coming off the injury, but he's likely to be active. And the Chiefs, Kendall Fuller might be back, but even so, Kendall Fuller playing isn't going to be a situation where I shy away from Adam Thielen.
Yeah. And I think Adam Thielen's just a must-start if he's on your roster movie. Like, he's just that good of a receiver. And and Kirk Cousins loves him some Adam Thielen.
I mean, I'm starting a lot more Vikings than I am Chiefs this week.
Yeah. Four over what? I don't know if you start Rudolph. You hate Rudolph. So
he sucks.
Thielen, Diggs, Cook, Cousins.
He's a viable streamer, I suppose, because the Chiefs are bad against tight ends. But he sucks. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and then start your Vikings. Sorry, Chiefs fans. I'll be at the game. They're 0-3 at every game.
Yeah, you got to watch out for this, man. Like, you're with Show Stamp of Approval. You're at Serta's press box of stance.
No, it'll be fine.
They're not going to win. I don't think they're going to win.
But two of the games, Patrick Mahomes wasn't even in, so those games don't really count. All right, you got a game of the week?
Yeah, I like San Francisco-Tampa Bay. I think that that seems like a game that Jameis Winston can get just a little bit more time to throw the ball.
Seattle-Tampa Bay?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry, Seattle-Tampa Bay. I just think that, like, Jameis Winston can actually, like, maybe throw the ball a little bit more in this one. I think that I know that he's going to throw interceptions. That's just the way it goes. But this has a potential Jameis Winston game of he could throw for 350 yards, four touchdowns, two picks, really target both of those big stud receivers. Mike Evans was a beast last week. I don't see why he can't be a beast against Seattle. I really like that matchup, and I also like Green Bay and the Chargers as well. I think a lot of offense could be played in that.
I really like the Lions and the Raiders.
Yeah, you starting the car again?
Both teams are bad against opposing passing attacks. There's going to be a lot of passing volume in this football game. I think they're both starting quarterbacks are in play. I think that both teams' wide receivers are in play. I actually really like this matchup for fantasy purposes. I think it should be a fun game. But thank you guys for listening. This is Forced to Punt. You can find us on the 435 Podcast Network. We'll catch up with you next week.
Darren Fells.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.